You're listening to In the Vault, a KPMG banking industry podcast series.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Liz Lamadou, a principal in the Banking and Capital Markets Tax Practice. And today we're discussing a topic that has rapidly shifted from a back office concern to a major corporate risk. That is business traveler compliance. I'm joined today by Ann Darcy, a principal in our Global Mobility Services Tax Practice. Welcome, Ann.
Hi, Liz.
Thanks for joining me. And what we want to discuss today is that changing landscape, which is why business as usual may no longer be enough when it comes to employee traveling and working from everywhere. So historically, I think we thought of business traveler for international assignments and secondments, but these days it's so much more. State-to-state travel, working remotely is now commonplace and can be equally complex, as well as continued international travel. So Ann, let's start with the big picture and then we can narrow and focus more on some specifics. But can you give us a high-level overview of the current state of business travel compliance?
Sure. I would say that business travel regulatory risk and compliance is definitely high on the agenda for clients across all industries. And I would say this is probably because there's a number of risk areas to consider. International risks include income tax, social security, and permanent establishment from a tax point of view. And then there are other regulatory risks, including immigration and posted worker registrations in Europe. U.S. domestic risk, as Liz mentioned earlier, is in the form of cross-border payroll compliance for employees that work within the U.S. In different states. A number of companies have implemented processes to address this risk, but there is still a large number of companies in various stages in the journey towards compliance, some in the exploratory phase.
And within the banking sector, where institutions are already under significant regulatory scrutiny, where do you see organizations falling? And is there a real sense of urgency?
I would say that most large and a certain number of mid-sized companies within the banking sector have business travel compliance processes already in place. Most focus on mitigating risk for their largest locations and their highest earners. Looking beyond that top tier, we are seeing a recent trend for more mid-sized organizations and many in the fintech space moving beyond that exploratory phase and into action in some form. This involves assessing where they have quantifiable risks and compliance requirements, and then building a business case to get leadership buy-in and budget to take action.
And why do you think right now is really an ideal window for banks to start looking into this?
Implementing these processes can take time because we're generally starting from scratch. So we find this time of year, as companies come up for air from year-end and bonus season, the best time to consider this topic and plan a strategy for a next calendar year rollout, especially where payroll processes are involved.
That certainly makes sense for why right now. So when financial institutions think about global travel, and I want to start global and then we can get more local, but I think institutions often default to there's income tax exposure for high earning front office staff. But I think the risk profile is really beyond just this income tax exposure. So can you walk us through some of those other risks, immigration, posted worker regulations, especially in the EU? How are they shaping compliance requirements?
I agree with you on the tax point. I think when I started implementing these programs about 12 years ago, definitely tax was the focus. Now we see immigration and posted worker risks definitely driving more compliance. This is especially for financial institutions with significant international operations, which include European locations. For immigration, it's important that employees have the correct visa to carry out their activities in the business travel location. This may seem obvious, but with Brexit, for example, employees that are UK citizens now have immigration considerations when traveling within Europe. They can only spend up to 90 days in the Schengen area in aggregate. So travel needs to be tracked against this threshold to be compliant. Also, the type of visa that may be required for business travelers can be driven by activities being carried out. So having a process in place to collect this information at booking to assess immigration requirements is definitely important. Under the EU Posted Worker Directive, employers may need to register employees prior to them arriving in certain EU countries, providing extensive data in relation to their compensation and benefits. These requirements are intended to ensure posted workers are granted core working conditions at the level of the host country when they are posted from a country with lower standards. At the same time, the directive does help create a more level playing field between local and foreign companies providing services in the same market. While non-compliance with all regulatory requirements carry financial penalties, there may be other negative impacts for these. For instance, immigration failures can result in employees being denied entry into location or the employer being prohibited from doing business there, which is quite severe. And failure to comply with the Posted Worker Directive requirements carry very heavy penalties, sometimes in the millions.
Well, it sounds like penalties in certain regions are becoming a much bigger deterrent than they used to be. So we've got posted worker regulations, we've got immigration regulations, we've got all of the tax-related risks. So I think that all makes sense on the international side, but let's talk about the domestic side for a second. Because I think there is a lot of state-to-state payroll type risk and maybe additional risk. So it is surprising to hear that some banking institutions haven't tackled that state to state compliance yet. So what are you seeing within this sector?
As I said up front, most, if not all, of the largest banks, both headquartered in the US and outside, have some type of payroll process in place for US state to state domestic travel, some for several years. Where we have seen the most implementation activity over the last few years has been with the next tier of financial institutions, such as the brokerage houses and private equity companies, as well as in the fintech space. There have been barriers to implementation, which fall under a few headings. First one, definitely risk awareness. Until a proper methodical risk analysis is undertaken, companies have sometimes taken a head-in-the-sand approach until it becomes an issue, such as in the case of a New York State payroll audit, which are quite common. Program ownership. Business travel risk is a topic that can be tossed around like a hot potato before finding a home. Until then, it can churn internally without action being taken because no one wants to own it and sometimes fund it. A risk analysis can help accelerate action and draw in the right stakeholders internally. And lastly, on the topic of who pays for it, internal budget. In the absence of a clear driver, such as an audit settlement, for example, it is sometimes difficult to procure a budget.
And if these financial institutions have highly compensated travelers, what are some of the hidden risks of not having the proper reporting system in place?
I'm not sure this is hidden, but definitely from a state-to-state perspective, income tax withholding exposure is heavily weighted towards highly compensated employees. And this is also where state auditors focus during payroll audits. Incentive compensation, such as equity, drives a lot of the exposure in the banking sector and so can be very lucrative for state authorities. And therefore, non-compliance can be costly when you add in penalties and interest. Other maybe hidden risks are employee duty of care and reputational risk, and these can be factors for companies when considering the need to be compliant. When talking to clients, we always stress the need to review compliance for executive committees, for example, at a minimum, as these employees are often in the public eye and can prompt scrutiny.
That makes sense, because I think for certain employees in the public eye, it may be clear to state authorities where they are at certain times.
Exactly.
So for a company that knows they may have some risk with employee travel and may not know where to start, what would you say is the first step, and how do you help them figure out, I would say, what that risk is and where it actually sits?
So as a first step, we always recommend a risk analysis to validate and quantify the risk. This is a reasonably quick process, and it requires employee demographic and business travel information. It serves a number of purposes. It validates the need for a business travel process to begin with. It quantifies the risks for senior management buy-in. And lastly, it helps identify the employees and locations creating the most risk, so efforts can be focused there. Companies do need to start somewhere, and starting by mitigating the highest exposure makes the most business sense. With data in hand, companies can then decide on their strategy and build a policy and process framework to implement their end-to-end compliance processes. To give you an example of a risk analysis I did with a client, the results of this risk analysis showed that employee domestic business travel was creating the most exposure. So this client started with the payroll process to manage this risk from a payroll perspective. And with that up and running, we are now currently evaluating their strategy for international risk.
So in part of that process would be, right, you're really managing that multi-state withholding for all of those U.S. employees that are moving around. So once that risk map is understood, what's a realistic implementation timeline look like for a bank? So if somebody started analyzing this today, how soon would they expect to have a framework that's essentially off and running?
As I said at the outset, now is a great time to be thinking of this issue. Based on our experience implementing these processes over the past several years, we do find a 6 to 9 month runway ideal to implement your program. This may seem long, but that includes the development of the policy and process framework, which needs to be done before implementing any technology to enable the process. This requires engagements across a number of impacted stakeholder functions, including tax, HR, and payroll, to name a few. Change management is also important and needs to be factored into this timeline. We have found that having an effective communication strategy has driven the most success with our clients.
You mentioned a couple of things there that I want to pick up on. And one is this idea of multiple impacted stakeholders and this really needing to be cross-functional across the organization. It's not just tax, not just HR, not just payroll, but all of these functions and more really need to work together. The other interesting comment you made was technology enabled processes. So and that's a great segue. I want to go to technology next, because no conversation is complete these days unless we talk about technology. So when we think about the complexity of tracking thousands of travelers, what technologies are in place to help institutions take this from a theoretical policy to an active and manageable process?
Yeah, as I mentioned in my last response, once companies have a policy and process framework, they typically will design an end-to-end process that is enabled by technology. This will be a combination of our clients' internal systems, such as HRIS, third-party vendors, such as the travel management company, which most large organizations will have, and specifically for U.S. domestic state withholding compliance, the payroll provider. For business travel tracking and risk assessment, a third-party tool is usually required, such as KPMG's business traveler tool. Tools like ours will ingest employee demographic and travel information. It will then assess risk across the various risk areas, including tax, immigration, and postal worker requirements. And really, this will depend on your areas of focus and where you have established where you have risk. And then the tool will typically initiate downstream compliance processes, such as facilitating U.S. multi-state payroll reporting and withholding, or preparing and filing posted worker registrations, which we talked about earlier. If I think just simply about the U.S. state-to-state payroll as an example, just to put this into context, employee demographic and travel information will be ingested into one of these tools through integrations. The data will then be put through the logic engine in the tool to determine the number of days worked in each state. And then state tax logic will be applied to determine where withholding tax is due. Then based on the organization's payroll calendar, payroll files are generated, which are uploaded to this payroll system to apply withholding in the correct states. So that's just to give you an idea of how the end-to-end might work.
That's a great example, and I think definitely demonstrates the need for a tool to take you from end to end. That certainly makes a lot of sense versus doing all of that manually. As we wrap up, Anne, what is one thing you want banking, capital markets, tax departments to take away regarding their business travel population? And let's just say for the coming year.
I have three main takeaways. First, determine whether business travel risk is being managed within the organization and the last time these processes were benchmarked against the market. Secondly, if this has not been looked at, initiate a conversation with KPMG or your tax vendor to discuss how it might apply to your company. And lastly, start with a risk assessment to further understand your company's specific risk areas and devise a strategy to address these risks. Most clients start small with a focus on high risk areas first. Once you get started, it's easy to scale from there.
That sounds like great advice. So thank you, Anne, for sharing your insights today. was really helpful to get more detail on the business traveler compliance landscape. We know it's evolving and there's definitely growing risks both internationally and within the US. So it's important to build robust policies supported by technology. So clear that the proactive steps now can help our banking institutions stay ahead of regulatory challenges and protect their organizations. So I appreciate your expertise and practical advice, and I look forward to speaking again. Thanks for joining me, Anne.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining as well. This is Liz Lamadou with KPMG. I look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks for listening to In the Vault with KPMG. Be sure to subscribe to this series to be notified of new episodes.